gummies. I'm gonna bring a whole selection.
Keen?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Are there gummy bears?
Hey Dale, you're on.
Red licorice.
Where do you get this stuff?
I can buy it in bulk.
Look, if you can find those in bulk.
Can you buy them? How about you? How many are you paying? What have you bought them?
Sam's Club, probably.
We'll call the council back to.
Let me steal one.
Back in session, we're here tonight for two public hearings, and I'm sure that our attorneys are familiar with how we conduct those, but just in case you aren't, we will ask Mr. Griffin to start with the.
This is number two.
How we conduct our hearings, then start with the first one. Mr. Griffin?
Both the same guy.
When council holds zoning hearings or public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning ordinance in the manner requested by the applicant. When each application is called, we'll first have a brief summary given by Mr. Lank, who's director of the Planning and Zoning Commission, telling us what happened at the Planning Commission level. After that has been given, we will then call on the applicant to present their case. After the applicant presents their case, we will give an opportunity for anyone else who is present, aside from the applicant or their witnesses, who wishes to speak in support of the application, followed by an opportunity for anyone who is present in opposition to speak. After that has occurred, that basically finishes up the public hearing. Council has the right, if it wishes, to leave the record open or to close the record, and that's council's call. If the no decision has been made yet by the Planning and Zoning Commission, that is, if they have deferred, council will also defer and wait for the Planning Commission recommendation before making its own decision. At least they wait for a period of 45 days, and if no recommendation from the commission in 45 days, then council can put it on the agenda. If you intend to speak, come to the podium, state your name and your address for the record before you make any statement. That's so that if we later transcribe this, we'll be able to tell who's making what statements. If you, does anyone have any questions about the procedure we'll follow? Thank you. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. First application is change of zone number 1609, the application of Oak Creek LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a MR medium density residential district to a MR RPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for land lying east of Road 274, also known as Old Landing Road, 0.7 miles south of Road 275, also known as Warrington Road, to be located on 115.29 acres, more or less. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on February 22nd, 2007. Just passed down to you as a small booklet in a blue binder titled Oak Creek Subdivision. It is a document provided by the applicants. Was also submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The application was represented before the Planning and Zoning Commission by Jim Fuquay, attorney. Also present was Rob Baker of Chase Communities and Gary Couples of ECI Corporation, all giving testimony. Mr. Fuquay also submitted to the commission a copy of reasons and conditions for consideration and approval, if so approved, which I'll pass down to council. The 10 conditions of approval are the same as Oak Creek subdivision, already a record, and two additional conditions relating to the setbacks and proposed access easement and a golf cart bridge, if so approved. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. The commission at the conclusion of the public hearings did defer action on this application and for further consideration and has not yet rendered a decision. So action on this application has been deferred by the commission. It is on the agenda for discussion for tomorrow or for Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Any questions of Mr. Lang? Mr. Fuqua.
Gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, Oak Creek LLC. Oak Creek LLC is an entity owned by Chase Communities. With me is Rob Baker, who is a representative of Chase Communities. As Mr. Lang stated, this is an application for a 226-lot residential planned community. And as I'll explain, this is probably one of the more unusual applications that you'll ever hear. And I will be very brief. The reason I state that this is unusual is because the site plan basically that's shown on the board here to my left and another one for the audience over here is not only the RPC that we're requesting, but it is actually already an approved subdivision that has been recorded in Sussex County. So I want to repeat, what you see there, what we're asking for, is a subdivision that has already been approved, a 226-lot subdivision. It's located on the east side of Old Landing Road, contains about 115 acres, it's zoned MR. We are requesting the RPC approval for the sole purpose of modifying the front and the side yard setbacks. As you know, in an RPC, the setbacks can be reduced at the council's discretion. And what we are requesting is that the front yard setbacks be modified from the required 30 feet to a 15-foot setback, and the side yard setbacks be modified from 10 feet to a 5-yard setback. And I'll try to explain how we arrived at this request, and I do need to give you a little bit of history. Immediately south of this site, which this is the Oak Creek subdivision property, was a parcel of land that was called, it was owned by Warrington family, and it was called Warrington Creek. I represented that application back in 2003, and that application was an application for an MRRPC that contained 282 residential units, 176 townhouses, and 106 single-family lots. And the county council approved that RPC in July of 2003. And again, that was the Warrington Creek RPC. That subdivision, or that RPC, was approved with a 15-foot front yard setback and a 5-foot side yard setback. And I did submit for the records copies of that ordinance. So that is actually located just to, again, just adjacent to this site. About a year later, this property, the Oak Creek property, the owner at that time came in and requested a subdivision. And that subdivision went before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that was approved back in May of 2004. And since it was a regular subdivision, it was required to have the 30-foot front setback and the 10-foot side setback. So basically, you had two different developments that were approved side by side. Warrington Creek was an RPC. Oak Creek was a subdivision. Both of those developments did provide for interconnection so that those two developments were connected to one another. My client, Chase Communities, subsequently purchased both of the developments. They combined both of the developments into one development that's now called Sawgrass, and that is currently under construction. Homes are already built in portions of the development. However, because of the history that I just stated, there's an internal inconsistency regarding the setbacks. Part of the single-family lots have a 30-foot front, 10-foot side. Part of the single-family lots have a 15-foot front and a 5-yard side. So in order to create a uniformity in appearance for architectural purposes and aesthetic reasons, Chase Communities wishes to maintain a sense of uniformity by having the similar setbacks. Basically, what we want to try to do is have a similar design options for all the homes throughout the development. Doesn't necessarily mean that the setback on the front will be 15 feet, but it can be as small as 15 feet. So basically, the only reason we're requesting the RPC approval is to authorize the 15-foot front and the 5-yard side setbacks for the former Oak Creek section of the Sawgrass development. The only other change that was done to the approved site plan, which really isn't an RPC issue, it's really a site plan issue, but Sawgrass in this portion is requesting, they're gonna slide these lots right here down 20 feet in order to create a 20-foot easement right there that would come off of this road. And basically the purpose of that easement is to create a bridge that will connect to Kings Creek Country Club. It will not be for motor vehicles. It'll purely be for pedestrian and golf carts. It'll be similar to the existing types of bridges that are located within the golf course. Basically, this was a discussion that my client had with the country club. As I understand it, that has now been approved by the country club, so it'll be an amenity for this development. It'll provide golf cart access for people to join the golf course without the need to go out on the road. That, of course, will require DENREC approval for that bridge, and that has not been obtained yet. Basically, that is in the process of being applied for.
And you've got something in writing from Kings Creek saying that they've approved this, or just?
Yes, there is something?
Come on up
and identify yourself.
Kind of document or something?
Hello.
My name's Rob Baker. I'm with Chase Communities. We have executed an agreement with the Kings Creek Country Club between ourselves and Kings Creek Country Club with regard to the interest of building this bridge.
Mr. Cole, at the time of the Planning and Zoning Commission, that agreement hadn't been reached yet. And in fact, I just found out about it. On the conditions that I'm proposing, one of the conditions would be, what I've done on these conditions is I took the 10 conditions that already exist on the subdivision and repeated those, and I added two additional conditions. One was that the minimum setback, as I've said before, would be 15 feet and 5 feet side. And then the other condition is that the proposed bridge connecting the development to the Kings Creek Country Club would be subject to approval of the appropriate Kings Creek entity and approval of DENREC and any other applicable agency, and shall be for pedestrian and golf cart use only. All other types of motor vehicles would be prohibited. So that isn't a condition that I'm submitting. So again, that basically is the essence of our request, mainly to change the setbacks. There is a letter from County Engineer's Office where they indicated that they have no objection to the proposal.
In the lot configuration, other than the shifting of the 20 feet, nothing's changed?
Density's not changed?
The only other thing that changed, are they on here or not?
They're not on there.
They're not on there. On the actual original approval, there were two more lots that were located up in here. They have since been reduced, approved by the Planning Commission. So this is actually two lots less than it was originally. So
they've been removed?
Yeah. They were located right here, and they were removed to make this area larger.
If this is approved, would the Oak Creek portion be the second phase of Sawgrass to be developed?
Sawgrass is, both portions of Sawgrass are being developed at the same time. We're calling one Sawgrass North and one Sawgrass South.
I assumed if you're trying to have shorter setbacks that there would be no construction of houses until this is approved. Is that correct?
There are actually three or four houses under construction in Sawgrass North, and which would be Oak Creek.
Were they built with a 30-foot?
They were built with a 30-foot.
So you'd have three of them that would be different than the rest.
And we don't anticipate each one of the houses having the same setback. We would like some variance.
Just want some flexibility.
Yes. Correct.
Understand.
Jim, did the fire marshal comment on this change? Because I know that we have reasons why we have 30 foot and 10 feet and, you know, separation. Did the fire marshal comment on any of this?
No.
Lawrence?
Did not.
Why don't they usually get?
Now, typically, they responded at the time of the public hearing or for the public hearing for the subdivision. The subdivision isn't changing. They're only changing from MR to RPC.
I know, but their but the request is to move the buildings closer and everything.
They did not respond.
The lots
were they notified that
lots
this is
smaller.
The change?
Yeah, they
got it. Mr. Cole, the Fire lots aren't any better. Smaller.
No, I'm just, but the houses are closer.
You're saying the setbacks?
Oh, yeah, the houses, well, the setbacks are less.
Right, and I typically when stuff like that occurs, the fire marshal's concerned about.
They just burn faster.
Huh?
They were notified.
they didn't respond, Mr. Cole.
Well, that's
the fact.
The fire service, the school district, the off-state bank coordination, all notified.
Okay. All right. That's what I was trying to find out.
Jim, I got one question.
37.
You know, it says in your facts and findings and all that good stuff that 1 in 10 will be the same as, right? But you said you reduced it, but then here on the facts and in the conditions, it's 227. would actually be 225? Is that
It's going to be 226.
226. Okay.
In that booklet, it gives you a better picture of it. You can see the two developments that I referred to, how they were adjacent, and you can see how they line up now. They really are integrated together and fit together well. And again, the Planning and Zoning Commission has not issued a recommendation yet, so I realize you can't make a decision on this tonight yet.
So the magic number is 226, not 227. That's only one.
Yeah, for reasons I can't explain, the...
I'm sure you could if you tried.
Yeah. No, I actually can't, because I was not involved in this application originally. The approval, I believe, was for 227 units.
That's what the condition said, yeah.
And the original subdivision plot that was approved had 228 lots on it. However, the amendment that was done reduced it to 226. So it is correct and under what was approved.
But as far as conditions, it should say 226.
It'll be 226 is what it'll be. It'll be exactly what's there, which is the 226.
Okay.
Do any council members have any questions of Mr. Fuquay?
No.
Not now.
Was there anyone else that you would be calling as a witness, Mr. Fuquay?
No, that concludes our presentation.
Okay. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of this application for a change of zone from MR to MRRPC? Let the record show that no one else asked to speak in favor of. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application or who has a concern or question about it? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized either way.
Make a motion we defer CZ 1609.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Rogers, to defer on CZ 1609 until such time as Planning and Zoning makes a recommendation. Questions? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Mr. Lang.
Thank you. Gentlemen, before I read the paragraph, I would just advise the council that the commission and the applicants for Burton's Pond Communities LLC, the applicants had requested that the application for change of zone 1610 and subdivision 2006-32 be consolidated into one hearing. But to be given consideration by council this evening is change of zone 1610, which is the application of Burton Pond Communities LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plan community, for a certain parcel of land lying being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, for land lying east of Route 24 on both sides of Route 49, also referred to as Pine Water Road, and to be located on 41.94 acres more or less. We were corrected at the public hearing that Pine Water Road is actually Sloan Road. We also, the commission gave consideration to the following subdivision, which is an introduction paragraph. It is provided for informational purposes only since it was a part of the consolidated public hearing held by the commission. And that was a subdivision to consider subdividing land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 158.7 acres into 265 lots within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, and being located north and south of Route 24 and west, or excuse me, north and south of Route 48 and west of Route 24. And I state that just because the record before you, several pages, it includes both projects, not the one that you're giving consideration to.
I didn't know if this is a layman's version and this is not.
Since the council would only have jurisdiction over the change of zone, is there any need to hear anything as consolidated here? I wouldn't think so.
No, but the record was, the only way I could do the record was it was presented together.
Okay. So what we'll hear tonight will be
the presentation that will be up by Mr. Fuquay and group will be oriented around the RPC section of the application.
What's the status of the subdivision?
They're both projects are deferred.
Okay. Mr. Fuqua?
Before, let me finish, please.
Sorry. Moving right along.
I like that. I felt right good.
Pressure's on.
Before the council, there is a large exhibit booklet containing reference to both projects.
Right.
The office had received 18 letters of opposition. They're all listed in my report as where the letters came from, rather than read all the names.
Right.
The application was represented by Mr. Fuqua, Mike Lynn, Scott Agin, Brent Jett of McCrone Incorporated, Derek Kennedy of Orth Rogers Associates, Gerald Esposito of Tidewater Utilities Incorporated and Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated, Todd Fritchman of Envirotech Environmental Consulting Incorporated, and Mark Schur of Ocean Atlantic. There were several pages of their presentation in your report. Mr. Fuqua submitted copies of proposed conditions and findings of fact for the change of zone 1610. He also submitted copies of the same for the subdivision. Kay Allison was present in support of the application and gave testimony. There were 12 speakers of the 28 parties present in opposition. There was a petition containing 127 signatures in opposition. And at the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission deferred action for further consideration on this application. I did receive a correspondence from Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum. It came on March 7th. We are advised that the soils on site are Downer Loamy Sand, Easterboro Loamy Sand, Fort Mott Henlopen Complex Sands, Henlopen Loamy Sand, Manahawkin Muck, which is frequently flooded, and Purnell Peat, very frequently flooded and tidal. We are advised that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. That there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, there are no tax ditches affected, that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, that the applicant will be required to observe state sediment and stormwater requirements. Attached to that is an aerial infrared and a soil map. Of the soil types referenced, the Downer Loamy Sand is considered prime farmland soil. The Fort Mott Henlopen Complex soils are considered prime farmland if irrigated. The Henlopen Loamy Sand is also considered prime farmland if irrigated. They also provide a selected soil interpretation of all the soil types as they relate to septic tank absorption fields, dwellings with and dwellings without basements. I did receive a letter on March 5th from Mark and Joanne Woodruff, and they're writing to rescind their opposition to the proposed zoning change. After having a chance to review the project and who the partners are, I feel the developers have addressed all of my concerns that I had with this project. Knowing who the developers are and their track record with other projects in the area, I have no objection to their request. Thank you for your time and consideration.
What if they sell it?
And then we received just a few minutes ago, I was handed a email. It's from David Rankin. I am writing to register my opposition to the proposed development. Makes reference to the size, the location of the project. Our home at 20 Pinewater Drive in Pinewater Farms will certainly be impacted by this development. The building plans of Burton's Pond Communities are totally out of character with all development in the area. A new development, Pinewater Woods, planned for the area east of this property, was redesigned from a cluster development to a 3/4 acre lot standard development to maintain conformance with the surrounding developments. Consideration of multifamily dwellings at this location will impact property values and the natural beauty of the area. As residents of this area, we ask that the current plan be denied to assure us that the adjacent developments will be similar to our own homes. And it's sincerely David and Myra Rankin. And that's all I have, gentlemen. Let's have a question.
Fuqua.
Good evening again, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, Burton Pond Communities, LLC. And I do want to tell you right from the beginning, I have a number of people here with me that I want to introduce, and particularly for the folks who were here at the planning and zoning hearing, we're not going to repeat all the information that we presented that night. We're not going to call all the witnesses that we presented that night. There's a very thorough record that's already been presented. I think if you read the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission, it covers a lot of the territory, and also the exhibit books that we've submitted covers a lot of that. So our presentation tonight is basically going to be presented by myself and by Mike Lynn. Mike is the president of RDM, Inc., and RDM, Inc. is a member of the Burton Pond Communities, LLC. As I mentioned, also present and available to answer any questions you may have that may come up in our presentation are a number of the professionals whose studies and recommendations contributed to the design of this development. Seated behind me on both sides, there's Scott Aja of McCrone Engineering, who did the site design and the engineering. Derek Kennedy of Worth Rogers, who did the traffic engineering work on the site. Todd Frith from EnviroTech. They did the environmental management service plan for Burton Pond, which we'll be explaining. Glenn Mellon, he's with Height Associates. They did the cultural archaeological study. And Jerry Esposito from Tidewater Utilities and Tidewater Environmental Services, who will be the water and sewer providers. As Mr. Lang stated, there was an exhibit book, which is kind of a summary book with some data and summary of the development that's been submitted. Also, there's a rare and endangered species study and a large appendix book that's submitted that's in the record if you had any questions about that. Some of the reports and studies that were prepared in connection with the development are located in that appendix book. And that includes, among those studies, there was a soils reconnaissance report that was done by Eastern Shore Soil Service, a wetland investigation that was done by environmental consultants, a Burton Pond environmental assessment and environmental management plan that was done by EnviroTech, the traffic impact study by Worth Rogers, the cultural and archaeological study by Height Consulting, an economic impact study, the conclusion summaries of a phase one and limited phase two environmental site assessment, which was prepared by Hillis Carnes, and the rare and threatened endangered species study that I referred to. And also, the very last section in there does contain the resumes of the various professionals that prepared those reports. The location of the Burton Pond Community site is on Route 24. As the name implies, it's just south of Burton Pond. Burton Pond Communities is actually comprised of two parcels of land, one on the west side of Route 24 and one on the east side of 24. And again, we, of course, are going to be focusing on the parcel that's located on the east side, but I do want to explain the entire community as it was planned. The western parcel, that's the piece that's not before you, that's the subdivision piece, that contains 158 acres, it's zoned AR, it's located in the low-density area under the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan, except for a portion of that site, which is adjacent to Route 24 and running back 600 feet. That portion is considered to be in the environmentally sensitive development zone because it's adjacent to where a road separates the environmentally sensitive zone from the low-density zone. On that parcel, we are proposing a cluster subdivision of 265 single-family lots with significant recreational facilities on site. The average lot size in the subdivision will be 9,500 square feet. The overall density will be 1.67 lots per acre, and there'll be over 80 acres or 51% of the site remaining as open space or recreational land. As I said, that application was filed as a cluster subdivision application, and that decision is pending from the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's currently on their agenda for the Thursday afternoon meeting. And again, just referring to the map, the subdivision parcel is the western parcel located right here. The eastern parcel, being the piece before you tonight, is located right here. Now, the parcel on the east side, that parcel contains about 42 acres. It's located in the environmentally sensitive developing area, which is a growth area under the county land use plan. And as I said, this is the parcel that we're really presenting to you tonight. Now, as an initial question, you may wonder why we chose to file the Burton Pond Communities as two separate applications. And I can only tell you that in a less complicated zoning world, our proposal would have more logically been presented as one RPC, residential community, request. Since this development is planned as one community, it's going to have one common homeowners association for the management of all the common areas and the recreational facilities and Burton's Pond. However, since a large portion of the western parcel is in a low-density area, we determined that the county council may deem that parcel as being not appropriate for an RPC overlay. And that conclusion, to a large extent, was based on my advice, and that was based on my experience from past precedent where the council had indicated that very conclusion. And I'm referring to the original Isaac's Glen RPC application, which was denied by the council. And one of those reasons for denial was that it was deemed that you didn't feel that it was appropriate for an RPC development in the low-density area. As you know, that was subsequently approved as a subdivision. So as a result of that background, it was decided to proceed with two separate applications, a cluster subdivision application on the western parcel and an MRRPC application on the eastern parcel, which again is located in a county-designated growth zone. Now, as I said, the east parcel contains 42 acres. We're proposing an MRRPC containing 102 units, and those units will be located in 15 separate buildings. The buildings are the style called the Big House and are designed to have an architectural appearance of a large single-family residential home. And I think you're familiar with the type of concept. It's the same type of multi-family building that was constructed at the Painter's Mill development located down off of Route 1 just east of Milton. Now, under the RPC density calculations of the zoning ordinance, an MRRPC on a 42-acre parcel, as we've designed this, would have a maximum permitted density of 174 units. Now, we are requesting 102 units, or what would be a gross density of 2.43 units per acre. And as I'll be explaining, and this is an extremely important feature of our request and design, our proposal results in 31.8 acres of open space for this parcel, which is 75% of this 42-acre parcel. For the record, the development will utilize the following services. Central water service for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. Tidewater Environmental Services will own and operate the community wastewater treatment and disposal system. Extensive soil studies were done, which were submitted to and reviewed by DENREC. DENREC's Division of Water Resources issued a statement of feasibility for the on-site wastewater system dated October 2, 2006, and a copy of that is already submitted for the record. But the statement of feasibility was issued by DENREC. And again, Mr. Esposito from Tidewater is here if you have any questions about that. A traffic impact study in accordance with DLDOT's instructions, was performed by Orth Rogers. Mike Lynn, when he speaks, will address the proposed improvements. I just want to note that the improvements that that we'll be doing in connection with this development, number one, those improvements will be at the developer's expense entirely. And more importantly, those improvements will be done first. They'll be done before any occupancy of any of the proposed units. So these road improvements are an upfront improvement that will be done. As to fire coverage, the site is partially in the, I guess what's the Lewis-Rehoboth service area. The Lewis-Rehoboth substation is located just down